So, who loves a good wedding? Has anyone been to a wedding since COVID's all happened? Isn't it great? It's so good now that it's all kind of died down. We can actually be free and enjoy weddings again. So, we went to a wedding two weeks ago. So there was Em, there was Ruthie, and there was me, and then my in-laws as well. So Em's mum and dad. So we went down to Loughborough for this wedding, and it was one of Em's childhood friends. So they've known each other for a long, long, long time, and it was such a lovely day. And Em got to be a bridesmaid, and she looked amazing. But we stayed down in this hotel over in Loughborough for a few nights. And I remember on the first morning, woken up, Em had gone off with the bridesmaids to do whatever bridesmaids do in that morning time. So she went off to do that kind of stuff, and I took Ruthie over to have breakfast. So we came out of our room, down the stairs, along the corridor, with the eager anticipation of breakfast at the end of the corridor. And as we walked down the corridor, I just noticed the room numbers: 105, 104, 103, room 102, room 101. And so I kind of chuckled to myself, I wonder what's in there. What would they put in that room 101? Anyway, carried on. Just for those who don't know, does anyone know, can anyone explain what room 101 is? Who's seen the TV show, room 101? Was it on the radio as well? Yeah? Maybe. So anyway, for those who don't know, room 101 is a special room. Basically, it's filled with all the stuff that you want to banish from your life and banish from existence. So it might be things that you don't understand. It might be things that frustrate you, pet peeves, the worst things in the world, stuff that you just find absolutely, completely, utterly pointless, things that you just don't want in your life. For example, homework can go very nicely into room 101. Doesn't mean that you don't do it. Anyway, we had our breakfast, so I was there with Ruthie and the in-laws having our breakfast, really, really nice, full English, and we were walking back to our rooms. I was going to go and get Ruthie ready for this wedding, and lo and behold, but who should go into room 101? As we got into the corridor, well, this is us, and so my in-laws walked into room 101, and I found that highly amusing. And I'm just going to backtrack a little bit and say, they don't deserve to be in room 101. I didn't book the room for them to be in room 101, and I definitely would not banish them there because we love them very, very much. So I'm going to ask you a question. Just chat with the person next to you. If you could put your in-laws in room 101, would you? I'm joking. We're not going to go there because that will be destructive. And please do not ask each other that over lunch. But if you could put anything in room 101, what would you put in that room? Okay? So turn to the people next to you. If you could put anything, and we're not talking about people, if you could put anything in room 101, what would you put in there? Go. Okay. This could be highly dangerous. Emphasis, not people, things. What would you put in room 101? Anyone?
Facebook.
Amen? Yes, get rid of Facebook. Anyone else? Yes, Tyler.
School.
Get rid of school.
Homework
and mushrooms. Homework about mushrooms. Yeah? Tomatoes. Yeah, they can all go in room. I completely agree. Anything else? Yeah? The television controller. But then you've got to press the buttons on the side of the TV. Okay, so, well, I was having to think about this. Fun-sized Mars bars. Fun-sized... Right, bear with me a second. Who decided that a fun-sized Mars bar was fun? Who put that word in front of it? Because, let's be honest, you take a full Mars bar, you quarter it, and you give it out as fun. A fun-sized Mars bar would be a Mars bar which is 10 times the size of a regular Mars bar. Yeah? Agreed? So can we have fun-sized Mars bars in room 101? Okay, excellent. What about actual-sized Mars bars? Would anyone not put this in room 101? Yes. This could be dangerous, but first one to it can have it. So I wonder what else you would banish to room... I thought there'd be swarms, to be honest. I wonder what else you'd put in room 101. But just again, with the people around you, I'm going to ask a different question, and we're definitely going to need a bigger room for this. But if you could completely recreate the world from scratch, if you could completely renew the world and make it completely new, what would you keep in and what would you throw in the bin? What would you take away from our world, okay? So have a chat in your groups. If you could renew the world, what kind of stuff would you want to be in the world? What would you throw out of the world? Okay, let's start with what stuff would you want to keep in the world? Someone tell us what you want to keep.
Love, kindness, friendship, family.
Brilliant. I'm happy to keep that, yeah? Anyone else? Sorry? Replace all people with guinea pigs, cats, and dachshunds. Okay, so no people in this world. Okay, fair enough. So, okay, great. Yeah. You keep church?
BLTs.
Amazing. Yeah.
Remove politics
and the climate change. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Car racing,
we'll keep that. And what else would we get rid of then? What do we want to see get rid of in this world?
Wasps,
yes. Yes. Pesky things. Yeah. Me, yes. Charming. Just because I didn't give you a Mars bar. Yeah.
Computers,
yes. Flies.
Mosquitoes.
Spiders. Sorry?
Boris.
Maybe split the room. True. But when it comes to renewing the world and kind of what we know should be in the world and what we kind of know shouldn't be in the world, we kind of know, don't we? Like, none of us doubt that we want peace in the world, and that it should be in the world, and that we want to see love and kindness and security, right? And relationship, good, positive, strong relationships and community. And God's presence, do we want God's presence? Yeah, of course we do. We definitely do. On the other hand, we look around at our world and we see how broken our world is, and we know that those things, they shouldn't be in our world, should they? Like, we look at the injustice in the world. So, just two quick stats. First of all, there are 2.2 billion human beings, just like you and just like me, who can't drink safe water. 2.2 billion. Another stat, there are more people who are slaves at this point in time than there ever have been in the history of the world today. It's 2022, right? But we know that shouldn't be happening, and it's horrific. It's unfair. And then we look at the world and see how sin is running riot. We see the death and destruction. We see war. We see racism. We see poverty. We see people who are being bullied. We see the mental health crisis at the minute, all of those kind of things. And all of us kind of go, that doesn't seem right. Surely that doesn't seem right. We know that the world is broken and the world isn't as it was meant to be. And as followers of Jesus, we have an amazing hope, which is what we're going to talk a bit about for the rest of the service. And that hope is that for us, we know things won't always be this way. The world won't always be broken, not because we're amazing as human beings and we've got the power to solve all of our problems, but because we trust in God, and we trust that God will do something about it. And for any one of us trusting in Jesus, we have this amazing hope, the hope of eternal life, and that is the hope of heaven. So we've got a verse on the screen. Can all of us read this together? Okay, 1, 2, 3. But our homeland is in heaven, and we are waiting for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come from heaven. Heaven is our home. And so today we're going to carry on with that big question. So what about heaven? And so I wonder when you close your eyes and you picture heaven, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Maybe it's just a load of chocolate and you kind of like wallowing in it and having a lovely time. Maybe you have that picture of like fluffy clouds and angels and harps and choirs and all that kind of thing. Or maybe you're just completely baffled and confused and I don't even know what I think about heaven. And we'll all have loads and loads and loads of questions about what it'll be like, what we'll do, who's going to be there, where is it, when will we go, how will we go, what's it going to look like, and when. And you know what, I'd love to answer them all, but let me be honest, I'm not going to, and I can't. A, because of time, B, because I don't know, C, because I've never been. But what I do want to do is just give you a massive encouragement, whether you're the youngest person in the room or the oldest person in the room, a huge encouragement with what the Bible says that heaven is like. So, can we read the next one, please? So, Isaiah 65, verse 17. 1, 2, 3. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. And then Revelation 21, verse 5. 1, 2, 3. The one who was sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. So, we had a bit of a think about it before, but one day God is actually going to make everything new. He's going to make a new world. And I wonder what he'll keep in the world, and I wonder what he'll take out of it. He's not just going to fix it with some gaffer tape or try and glue it up with some Gorilla Glue, that kind of thing. He's going to make everything completely new. Some stuff that he keeps, some stuff that will never, ever, ever be seen again. So we're going to read one more. I'll read this one. But as we read through it, there'll be some bits which you go, But keep your eye out for what might be in this new world and what might be out of this new world. Okay, are you ready? So maybe, just as a bit of fun, put your hand up in the air if you think it's, like, if you find something which is going to be in, and put your hand in the air if you see something which is going to be out. You ready? Okay, so here we go. So, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had disappeared, and there was no sea anymore. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It was prepared like a bride dressed for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now God's presence is with people, and he will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe every tear away from their eyes, and there'll be no more death. Or sadness, or crying, or pain, because all the old ways are gone. And we've read this before, haven't we? The one who was sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And this can be trusted. So can you just imagine this for a second? Imagine this, a world with no more death, a world without even the threat of that, with no disease, with no people getting poorly, either physically or mentally or however else, with no sadness or crying or pain. A world where you're not bombarded with shame and guilt every time that you do something wrong. A world where there's no more evil people, no more evil things, no more evil events happening, no more destruction, no more wars going on in the world, no more injustice, none of that slavery or people not being able to have drinking water. Where there's no poverty or harm or hurt or hate. A world where you never have to fear being picked on by anyone. A world where you don't have to worry about how you're going to get through the day. A world where you don't have to worry about being lonely or by yourself. A world where every question is resolved. Every anxious thought is left behind. A world where temptation has gone. Where the struggle that you're facing right now has ceased, where every wound is bound and every tear has been wiped away. All those things gone forever. It's like the greatest free-from aisle you can ever, ever imagine. All those things gone. But the world will be flooded with God's goodness and his love and his life and his light. 100% peace. 100% joy, 100% fairness and justice, 100% goodness, a pure world, everything made right, and everything wonderful, and everything perfect. And the greatest thing about this new world and this new creation, this heaven that we'll be part of, is that God is there at the center. God is right there at the center. In the midst of it all, we'll be with him in his presence, and we'll see him, the Bible says, we'll see him face to face, completely unhindered. And so just imagine for a second that moment, whenever it is, that you see Jesus face to face for the first time. Imagine how incredible that would be when you see your Savior face to face and you see him smiling at you. And so just for a second, with the people around you again, a little discussion going on. So what stands out to you most about what the new heaven or the new earth will look like, what heaven will look like? With people around you, have a little chat. What stands out to you most? What do you look forward to? What resonates with you? Okay. So I said before, imagine a world where that was the case. But that's the reality. This is the world that we hope to be in. This is what heaven is like, a world where everything is made new and where we are made new as well. And we often talk about what we're saved from. So about when Jesus came to the cross, he saved us from our sin and from death and all of that kind of stuff. But we're saved for relationship with God. We're saved for new life that he wants to bring to us. And so one day, for those who trust in Christ, we'll enter into heaven, into that new creation with him. And it'll be, you know what? Let's be honest. It's going to be absolutely marvelous. It's going to be wonderful because all that brokenness that we experience, it won't be the case anymore. And can you see how that can really help us now with whatever it is that you're going through? So when I was in school, I didn't like school very much at all and would often have a rough day. And my coping mechanism whenever I had a rough day was very, very simple. I would get home and there'd be ice cream in the freezer and I would eat it all. And so whenever I had a rough day, there was that thought of, you know what, it's all right, I'll go home and have some ice cream. Everything will be fine after that. Or maybe it'd be a bad day and I'd think, you know what, but I'm going to see my friends tonight and everything will be okay then. I can chat to them, things will be fine. And in a similar kind of way, I'm in no way comparing heaven to ice cream, but we can go through really, really rubbish times, can't we? Really, really tough situations. And we can go through some really exciting times as well, but when things are rough and we're struggling and we look at the broken, messy, scary world around us and we get worried, or maybe when we're struggling in our faith and we've been beaten down by that temptation again and we've given in again and again and again, or when we're just simply struggling to trust in Jesus, or when things just don't seem like they're going your way, whether that's health or work or school or friendships, all those kind of things, we can remember that we have a hope which is far better than coming home to ice cream at the end of the day. And that hope is the hope of heaven, that God says, one day I'm going to make everything new. And it won't be broken anymore. It'll all be fixed. We remember that those difficulties won't last long because we'll have an eternity with Christ in the world that he has made new again. So I wonder if you do want that? Do you want that? It's not too good to be true. God says that it is true. And in Romans 8, 24 to 25, it says this. It says, we were saved and we have this hope. If we see what we are waiting for, that is not really hope. People do not have hope for something they already have, but we are hoping for something we do not have yet, and we are waiting for it patiently. And so what do we do in the meantime? That's a reality one day for us, but in the meantime, we wait. I was reminded before the service, we wait, but we also have a purpose to this life now. We live this life out now with purpose, on purpose, with Christ. And so just to close, that leaves so many things unanswered and leaves probably so many more questions and yes, but this and yes, but that. However, really, really simply, we have a hope. And just a quick thing to finish. As every night, when we put Ruthie to bed, we have our little bedtime routine, and we feed her and change her and sometimes put her in the bath and read a little story to her. And then we turn all the lights off and hold her in our arms, and we walk around the room, like, praying a little bit and just talking. And we finish off with a verse in Romans 15, 13. We pray this over every night. And just, I want this to be a prayer over each and every one of us this morning as well. And it says this, Romans 15, 13. I pray that the God who gives hope will fill you with much joy and peace while you trust in him. Then your hope will overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit. So whatever that you're going through in your life, whether you're the youngest or oldest, whether things are okay or things are really tough, in the midst of all of our questions, there is a hope of heaven for those who trust in Jesus that is absolutely sure and absolutely certain. And so I pray for each of you that you will overflow with that hope that we find in Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit.